Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever. My name is Father Raymond D'Souza. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Kingston in Ontario, between Toronto and Ottawa. And I've been here in your parish the last few days for a conference that was organized yesterday for the Center for Evangelical Catholicism. Some of the participants I see are here at Mass this morning, and Father Newman was kind enough to invite me to join you for the Holy Mass this morning to preach the homily, and it's a blessing. This parish is well known beyond the borders of the Diocese of Charleston, and so it's my first time here, and I'm grateful for that blessing and for Father's invitation. When we gather for Mass, whether it be a beautiful church like this — I note that the official name of this church is the Church of Our Lady of the Sacred Heart. My own parish in Kingston Diocese is the Sacred Heart of Mary, a bit of an unusual title, but between the Our Lady of the Sacred Heart and the Sacred Heart of Mary, there's at least some kind of commonality there. And my other work is as a university chaplain, which I'll speak about in a moment. But whether we gather in a beautiful church like this, or we gather in a little chapel, whether we gather maybe even in a field, or maybe a funeral with just a few people, whenever we gather for Mass, we're confident that the Lord Jesus is with us. But he's with us in four specific ways. He's not just generically with us. As you might say, we're always in the Lord's presence, or at least before his mind. But in the Holy Mass, in four ways, the Lord Jesus is present with us. The first way is in the congregation that gathers. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Therefore, where two or three or many more are gathered, the Lord Jesus is in our midst. That's the first way that Jesus is present to us at Mass. The second way is in the person of the priest. The priest is ordained to act in the person of Christ. What the priest says at the altar, "This is my body, this is my blood," obviously, it's not my body, not my blood. It's the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. But I say, this is my body. Why? Because at that altar, in leading the people in the worship of the Father, the priest acts in the person of Christ. So the second way that the Lord Jesus is present in the Holy Mass is in the priest. Father Newman and I, connection goes back many years, and it was through another priest, a friend of Father Newman's and a great mentor of mine. And when I was at the end of my seminary formation and getting ready to be ordained, he told me something that's always remained with me. He said, "Raymond, remember that whenever you are getting ready to go into Mass, whenever you're getting ready, as it were, for the procession to start, remember that that congregation on that day in this place has been brought together by the Holy Spirit. And you have been brought on this day in this place to this congregation by the same Spirit to lead them in the worship of God." And so, before we even think about the Mass, what goes on in the Mass, in the sanctuary, the Holy Spirit brought this congregation at this time, in this place, on this day, in the congregation and in the priest. The third way — I'll skip over it for a moment and then return to it. The fourth way is probably the one that we think of most readily: the presence of the Lord Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament, what we call the real presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity. By that, we don't mean that the other presences that I've just mentioned are not real or false. They're real too, but we say the real presence to emphasize that Jesus is present in the Holy Eucharist in a most complete way, that he's there, body, blood, soul, and divinity. That we know. And then there's this third way where the Lord Jesus is present to us in the Holy Mass, and that is in the reading, in the proclamation of God's holy word. We always read the scriptures. On Sunday, two readings, the psalm, the gospel. Lesser days, at least one reading. We always read the holy word of God at Mass, and the Lord Jesus is present in his word. He's present in his word. I know that because you're not hearing your pastor preach this Sunday, which will be a disappointment, I know, to some of you, you will read with greater devotion and fervor his message in the parish booklet. And providentially, it's about the Bible, with practical advice on what Bibles you might read and a general encouragement to spend time reading God's holy word. God is present to us. Jesus is present when we read the scriptures and above all, the gospels. The end of the passage that we had proclaimed from Mark's 9th chapter today. Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." When we hear that today, the end of this most difficult summer in the life of the church, we hear it differently, don't we? Whoever receives one such child receives me. The converse, obvious. Whoever does not receive one such child, or God forbid, harms one such child, also does not receive me, the Lord Jesus. And that experience of hearing this passage, this verse today, is different for us than had we heard it 3 months ago or 3 years ago when it was last proclaimed at Sunday Mass. And that experience is an important one, isn't it? That no doubt everyone here has had. Coming to Mass with a particular burden on our heart or a particular preoccupation or maybe even perplexed about something, and the Holy Scripture read at that Mass exactly addresses what I'm thinking about, what I'm burdened by. When we read the Scriptures at home, in our families, with our friends, perhaps, have we not had that same experience that sometimes even opening the Bible randomly and we settle exactly on the passage that we need to hear that day, in that moment? That's the Spirit at work. That's the Lord Jesus present to us in his holy word. And so I echo that invitation from your pastor to renew that devotion to reading God's word, to spending time with the Holy Scriptures. In it, we encounter God and his saving plan. But more specifically, we learn to think as God thinks. And that's not easy to do. When we receive the Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, we become more like him. In fact, we have him, his life, living in us when we receive him. So we become more like him. We might say analogously then that when we listen to his holy word, when we read the sacred scriptures, when we meditate upon them and reflect upon them, we begin to think like God thinks. It's not easy to think like God thinks. How do we learn that? His ways are so far above our ways. Inscrutable are the designs of providence. Mysterious is his holy will. So how can we think like God thinks? In part, we do that by being formed in his holy word. And that's what's going on in this ninth chapter of St. Mark's Gospel. And last Sunday, if you recall, in the eighth chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, Jesus is trying to teach his apostles how to think like God thinks. He's telling them about his plan for the redemption of the world, for the salvation of souls, that he's going to go up to Jerusalem, and it's not going to go well. He will be opposed and betrayed, and he will suffer and be crucified and died and buried, and then he will rise. And you recall last Sunday, when we read from the eighth chapter of the same gospel, St. Peter objected. He said, well, it can't be like that. I acknowledge you, I confess you as the Christ, as the Son of the living God, as the long-expected Messiah, but it can't be like that. That way doesn't make sense to me. And what did Jesus say? What a horrible, or horrifying, maybe better to say, rebuke. Get behind me, Satan, for you are thinking as man does, not as God does. And today again, now Jesus is with his apostles. They're away from the crowd. He's instructing them privately. And he's telling them what's going to happen. And after hearing his prophecy of the passion, what do they begin discussing? Who amongst them is the greatest? They've missed the point. They're thinking as men do. How did Jesus try and teach them to think as God does? Well, most likely he reminded them of what we read in that second chapter of the Book of Wisdom, our first reading today. They will condemn him, the just one, to a shameful death, with revilement and torture. They will put the just one to the test. He most likely told them of those passages or reminded them about the suffering servant in the book of the prophet Isaiah. He tried to form them in God's holy word so they could understand God's plan and think as God does. But we know that even at the ascension, this was a work in progress. It's not easy to think as God does. It's not easy. And before we are quick to judge negatively Peter and the apostles for not understanding what Jesus is proposing to them, we might think of our own day. And just as the apostles there might not have thought of that second chapter of the Book of Wisdom or the suffering servant of Isaiah, do we not know that in our day there are those who forgot, who should have known better but forgot, about this ninth chapter of St. Mark's Gospel? Anyone who receives a little child receives me. That Jesus took the child and put his arms around the child. When we forget the word of God, how easy it is to think not as God does, but to think as man does. M- Most of my work actually is not in a parish, although I do have a parish. Most of my work is with university students at Queen's University, the chaplaincy there. And one of the challenges, not exclusive to university students, it afflicts all of us, is that we're bombarded all the time. All the time. Information and entertainment, screens all around us, perpetually with the screens we carry with us. And much of that just distracts us from thinking at all, let alone like God. A good part of it actually makes us very worldly in our thinking, not like God thinks. And a part of it, as is well known, is actually very evil, leads us away from God. That's the world that my students live in, and it's the world, in fact, that all of us live in. And for those who are having particular struggles in breaking habits of that constant bombardment with worldly thinking at best and even sinful matters, when they're struggling against that, one of the practical pieces of advice that we give them is not only to turn those things off, but to turn to the Word of God in a very intentional way. 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day. Why? Because just on a psychological level, leave aside the work of the Spirit, what we put before our eyes, what we watch, well, that gets into our minds, and it can't be easily gotten out of them, it. And what's in our minds settles finally in our hearts. So we have to be careful by what we look at, what we read, how we amuse ourselves. That ends up in our minds, it shapes them and settles into our hearts. So therefore, if we put something good there, something holy, the Word of God, then that before our eyes occupies our minds. In fact, we encourage them to even memorize even just a few words, a verse or two, so that it sticks in the mind. And then it's the holy Word of God that settles in our hearts. That's how we begin to think like God, by keeping God's holy word always with us, as it were. If we devote a certain amount of time each day, Father Newman makes some suggestions of particular Bibles that might be helpful. But however you read God's word, however you organize it, that word accompanies us. And we might begin then, if we renew our devotion to God's word this Sunday, with this beautiful letter of St. James. We read from it last Sunday, and again this Sunday, this time from the third and fourth chapter. St. James is full of practical wisdom. He tells us, in effect, the man who thinks like God behaves in this way. This is how you can recognize someone who thinks like God. Listen to him today in this passage. The wisdom from above is the first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. That's what it means to think like God. If we have this passage before our eyes, if we have this passage occupying our minds, if we have this passage settling in our heart, we might ask ourselves then, am I peaceable? Or at least do I try to be? Am I pure, or at least do I try to be? Am I gentle, or do I try to be? Am I compliant? Am I full of mercy? Do I bear good fruit? That's not how the world thinks. That's how God thinks. And if we want to think as God thinks and not as man does, what better way? What better way than God's own word to us? We are generally very good, maybe always good as Catholics, about recognizing the Lord Jesus' presence, at Holy Mass, on the altar, in the Eucharist. We know he's there. Our prayers, our posture, our words, all of that point to that he's there. And so he is, one might say, in that most supreme way of the four ways in the most blessed sacrament. But it's not the only way. And in fact, when we're not at Mass, or we're not in the church, we don't have the Blessed Sacrament with us. You don't have the priest with you. You may, if you're gathered with your family or friends, have the Lord's presence with you where two or three are gathered. But if you're on your own, you don't have that. But you can always have the Word of God with you. And many people, I know many present, have that good custom, that good devotion of reading God's Word. He can always be with us. And that Word of God, when we come to know it, when it comes to occupy our minds and settle it in our hearts, we begin to think as God does. We begin to draw closer to the way God wishes us to be. Jesus spent a lot of time trying to teach the apostles how to think as God does, and it was a long process. For you and for I, in a certain sense, we might say, though we're not in direct contact with Jesus in Galilee as the apostles were in this ninth chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, we have things that they didn't have. We have the New Testament, for one. We have the Gospels. We have the Holy Spirit at work in the church. We have the encouragement of a parish, of a pastor, to read the Holy Word of God. We have the Word of God proclaimed to us regularly. And in this, we can have confidence that if we cooperate with that grace, the grace of God's presence in the sacred scriptures, then indeed, we will begin to think, not as we already do, and not as men often do, and not as the world encourages us to do, but as God does. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.